Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for May 6th, 2018. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the Madrid Open from Spain. This week's podcast is brought to you by Top Notch Tennis Tours. Let's introduce our co-host for this week. Parsa, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Nothing. You know, springtime is here, finally, for both of us. I know, obviously, New York always a little bit ahead than Toronto, but weather's awesome here. I was outside hitting today and getting ready for Madrid, then Roma, French Open. It's all happening. And that's why we're here, to give everybody our thoughts and see how this big tournament lead up to the French Open is going to unfold. Parson, this week's show, and everybody out there for listening, we're going to talk a little bit about recent results. Hawkeye on clay, Serena still out, and then we're going to get into the women's preview and then the men's preview. Let's jump right into it, my friend. Recent results we had last week, when I believe we left everybody, we were getting ready for Stuttgart and Barca. Pliskova ended up winning that nice event and taking home a nice 9-11. Indoor fast clay against Coco Vandeweghe, of all people, who it was such a... I mean, that for me was the highlight of the week, Barca. You had Coco Vandeweghe after every win. She was like, I hate clay. I'm just here to play, whatever. And she makes the finals almost, and it was not like a blowout. I think it was 6-4 or something like that. I don't know why, if I recall the finals, but Pliskova ended up winning, the ace queen, and she's got that nice Porsche. I wouldn't put a lot of weight on that. However, this event in Madrid is another very fast playing clay court, so you could see potentially, but it's outside, so there's, you know, those variables are out there for her to deal with, so she'll see how she responds. We also had Rafa Nadal winning his 11th title in Barcelona, absolutely rolling the field. The only real challenge that he had was Clizan, first set in the quarters. I believe Clizan was playing out of his shoes. In the second set. He beat Clizan 6-0 in the first. Clizan had some chances. He was up, I believe, 5-2 in the second, and then he went away from there. So Clizan, another very unorthodox, dangerous guy, kind of in the Jurgen Meltzer mode, but he still couldn't get it done. And Nadal hasn't lost a set since, I think, last year, some point on the clay.
Of course not.
Yeah, and he's going nicely. We had Zverev repeating, defending his BMW Open title today over Cole Schreiber. We had João Sousa. Great story there. Homegrown player from Portugal winning an Estoril over surprise finalist Tiafoe. Loving Tiafoe, Parsa, by the way. You know, the more and more I see this guy play, I mean, I really hope... I mean, he's made it, but I hope he really, really makes it. You know what I mean? I want to see this guy as a perennial top 10 guy for many reasons. You know, he's such an engaging character, super athletic, super nice guy. You know, he's just got all of those things that we need in tennis that can, you know, help transcend, you know, the sport into other avenues and culture. So I really would love to see him continue to go forward. That's pretty much what we've had coming into Madrid now, as we set forth the biggest dual event on the clay, along with Rome next week, as we get closer to Roland Garros. You have any thoughts on anything that's transpired in the last couple of weeks before, you know, this tournament in Madrid gets underway?
I mean, not much, you know, other than in the couple of weeks we haven't spoken, we found that Djokovic took a wild card into Barca and really stunk it up.
Yes.
And I think something that's still an ongoing saga, and something that is something for all of us to keep tabs on, is where's Nole? That's another subplot going into the Madrid Open here, and see how he does with his difficult first round match. I think it's something very worth noting and watching to see how his progress is. You know, and it still is opportunities galore for everybody.
Absolutely. So
that's the key to these couple weeks here that have passed, and to the couple weeks that are going forward here with Madrid and Rome, is people can make names for themselves. Last year, it ended with Ostapenko winning the French Open. And, you know, you can make a name for yourself by beating Rafa on clay right now. So it's there for the taking, and it doesn't look that's going to happen in any way, shape, or form. Rafa's extremely dominant, but we'll see. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I think for me it's interesting because you have, just like you said, this is the land of opportunity right now. Even more so the women's, you have these dominant figures that can win maybe 4 or 5 titles during the year, like a Svitolina and stuff like that. But on the men's side, like we had Toro Daniel winning today in Istanbul. First time, I think it was first time he even made semis, let alone a finals, let alone a title, beats Malik Jaziri. Again, first time finalist. Last week, we had Marco Cicinato, Italian lucky loser, winning in Budapest. I mean, so there's these things, and these guys are winning tour level 250s, right? And it's this is also happening because, you know, Murray's not there and Stan's not there. So they're not getting these wild cards. You know, like you could see maybe Wawrinka playing Istanbul. You know, they're going to give him a serious appearance fee to play. He's not ready. He's not playing, obviously. So there's a lot of these windows for these lower ranked players to come through and do some damage. So, and I think that's going to continue to happen this year. I mean, as Federer's aging, he's not around right now. Nadal is cruise control, but after the clay, what happens? You know, grass, he hasn't really performed that well in the last few years. Hard courts, again, he kind of took advantage of a super easy draw at the U.S. Open last year. Again, you know, I always say this, it's completely not his fault, but the draw was a cupcake draw. I mean, playing Kevin Anderson in the finals of the U.S. Open, I think he would take that any day of the week. And that's no disrespect to Kevin Anderson, because we all know that he's a workhorse and he's awesome in terms of his, you know, his mentality. But it is what it is. Parsa, getting to our second topic, Hawkeye. Hawkeye is obviously an innovation that's been around now for many years on tour, both men's and women's, but it's not used on clay. And Miami finishes, get on the clay, and there's these challenges. And we saw, you know, Jared Donaldson blowing up at Monte Carlo and all of these things. And I think it's because you become accustomed to something, right? The entire year, you have Hawkeye, and then you get onto the dirt and it's not there. So this is my conversation, you know, for you, Parsa, on this today. You have situations where they're saying, okay, so Hawkeye, we have a mark, we don't need it. Well, you clearly do, because everybody's not happy. Then they're like, so it's not completely accurate to, like, you know, 30 or whatever, millimeter or whatever it is. Now, if that's the case, then why are they even using it? Why is TV showing us, you know what I mean, after a guy hits a serve and it lands wide, and then the guy's like, it's here, umpire comes, oh no, it's not touching, and then, you know, there's no trust. But that doesn't make sense either, right? For me, what I would like to see is for them to use Hawkeye, as accurate or inaccurate as it is, it's still there, and use the ball mark as well too. Use both, right? Because you have that to your capabilities, unlike a hard court.
Yeah, and ultimately with that Jared Donaldson blow up that you brought up, the umpire actually had the wrong mark, and that's what that was all about.
Yes.
And so it wasn't even a misreading of the mark. You know, that's where Hawkeye could also be useful, is that it tracks the actual ball path.
Yes.
You know, in a place where if you don't wipe the marks, there could be multiple marks in the same spot and you don't exactly know which one is which. So, you know, you're right. Your argument of them, the players being used to one way and then all of a sudden going on the dirt and now it's back to that human element again. Although it makes for a lot more compelling drama, there's a lot more arguing and a lot more, you know, misunderstanding and bickering between the players and things like that. It's again the human element. There's room for error, and I think that error is greater than the 30 millimeters that Hawkeye supposedly has an error with. So using a combination, I don't know what a problem would be. You know, why not use a combination? What's
exactly
the difference?
100%. I mean, that's, again, that's my thoughts on it. I think definitely they should start doing that. And you know, we'll see how it unfolds. It's clearly not going to be for this year, but hopefully in the years to come. So, topic number three, Serena Williams, still out. You know, she's training down at the Mortaglou Academy in France. Looked pretty good. They did this whole dedication tour yesterday with like a racket on the wall and her picture and everything, but still not around. Looks like she's playing in Rome next week. Looks like that confirmation is there. But Parsa, her comeback, relatively, I mean, we're in May now, right? Really hasn't been what we thought it would be. So my question to you is, based on her playing, if she plays, she's going to play Rome, French. If she plays Rome, is that enough for her to potentially win the French? And then have that confidence to win Wimbledon, US. Is she that great of a player? Obviously, we know that, I mean, she is. There's no question about that. But at this stage in the game, with not having the match toughness that is required, is that enough? Is the amount of tennis that she's playing right now enough for her to continue to dominate like she was before?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a match issue. I think it's more a fitness issue, and you know, the body goes through all these tremendous amounts of changes when you give birth, and
but she looks fitter now, though.
She looks fitter because that's probably exactly what she's doing. She's like, okay, I got to get really fit. You know, I thought I was staying in good shape. I have to get even better shape. And that's basically where she's at. I still think her mind isn't going anywhere. Her desire, I think, is probably even greater. You know, she's someone who has met all the challenges that she's been put forth. And this is another one. So I'm not going to doubt her in any way, shape, or form. Because, you know, when it does click for her, it's lights out type stuff. And, you know, I think eventually she's going to make it. So if she's fit enough and she wins enough in Rome, then, of course, she's definitely going to be a contender in Paris.
Yeah, I think, again, everything is relative. I think she has three French Open titles, which is incredible. That being, I mean, it's not even arguable. It is her worst surface, and we're talking relatively because she still won three of those Grand Slam events there. I think she's going to maybe really look towards the grass, which really suits her in her serve, and then the hard courts of New York. For me, I think her best chance to win a slam this year is at Wimbledon. That would be my pick. Okay, moving now to the women's draw. So we have, you know, action actually got underway yesterday and today. So there's some stuff. All first round matches have been recorded. Halep is still in the draw. She leads the way here. I mean, Halep, she beat Makarova 1-0. She's playing Merkins next. You know, for me, Halep is a little bit of a question mark here too. I don't think the altitude and the fast conditions really suit her game, but in the sense of maybe she might be able to get a little bit more purchase on the ball. That might help her out. Just run through this quickly here, Parsa. So we have Halep in this section. We have Sloane Stephens, who, again, wins Miami. Got destroyed in the first round of Stuttgart by Coco Vandeweghe. I think it was under an hour. It was embarrassing. It was like 0-1. She's been in Toronto, actually, a lot, too, because she's dating one of the MLS guys here. So she's here a lot, practicing with some of the Canadian players. So I've been seeing that. And then Azarenka, who I really like what she's doing. Stozer, as we know, a former French Open winner, or finalist, pardon me. And then we have Pliskova, who's coming off of her win in Stuttgart. She's playing against Azarenka tomorrow, which should be a great one. So what do you think? I mean, a lot of big names here. You know, a lot of players who have done some stuff. We have the other Pliskova as well, too, here. Kristia, who's, pardon me, Carolina's sister. I don't know. I mean, for me, when I look at this draw, I like what I'm seeing from Azarenka. And I think that she's playing enough, super fit. And I think these conditions do suit her. So for me, it's going to be Azarenka into the semifinals. How about yourself?
Yeah, I definitely like that pick. I definitely believe in her. Although I'm not sure she'll get through Pliskova, but we'll see. She probably is going to edge her out, but I think fatigue will still be a factor for her. And I think Halep is very comfortable in Madrid, and you know, for that reason, I'm going to take Halep to go to the semi here.
Okay. As we move to section number two, it's led by former French Open winner Muguruza. We have Kazakina here. We have Kvitova, who just won in Prague a couple days ago. Quick transition. She comes in. She wins her first round, 1 and 2. She's playing Puig next, which is going to be a tough one. I like, you know, this is, you know, Christia is in this section as well, too. Donna Vekic. For me, looking at this draw, there's some potential here. There's some openings. But, again, I'm all about Kazakina this year. Kind of like my new Svitolina for 2018. I think she's going to do some damage this year. She looks hungry, you know, strong player here, strong Russian. And for me, she's going to the semis. How about yourself?
Yeah, I you know, a little bit more unsure in this section for me. You know, it's definitely a challenge, but I'm going to go with some home cooking here.
Okay.
I'm going to think Muguruza is going to be feeling the Spanish vibes and the Spanish crowd. for the lack of a better pick, and because it is faster and, you know, there's that chance that it does favor her as well. I think she's played well here in the past too, if I'm not mistaken, Nima.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for that reason, Muguruza for me.
Okay. Going now to the bottom section, it is led by number 7 seed, Caro Garcia, Julia Gorgas, and then we have Svitolina, Suarez Navarro, who we know we can play on this surface, Konta, who's looking for her form, Market. For me, I look at this draw, and there's some players, you know, we got to go back to a few years back when Andy Murray's sitting there and saying, I saw the number one player in the world in the future. Her name is Caro Garcia. That really hasn't happened. It's not that she's had a bad career by any means. And she's got a lot of pressure on her, especially at her home slam at the French, because all eyes are on her for that. But I think when I look at this section, I mean, Svitolina, again, she could definitely win this event because she's shown that she can win this caliber of event on many different occasions. But I think this is a good event because it's playing a bit quicker for somebody like Caro Garcia to do some damage. And for me, that's why I'm taking her to make the Final Four. But I would definitely watch out for somebody like a Suarez Navarro as well, too, because, you know, Spaniard plays really well on clay and... you could definitely do some damage here too.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna go with the total underdog wild card. Had a horrible year and is due, and I think it's Konta.
Yes.
I think it's time. She's got a very workable draw. She's already beaten the seed as we're doing this podcast, so it's a little bit easier. But she can beat Bernard Vipera, and she's gonna get the winner of Suarez Navarro and Svitolina after they do get out, and I think maybe she can go in surprise and sort of needle her way through into a decent result. And, I think it's a workable draw for her. There's nothing or anyone that's going to overwhelm her. So if she puts the right game plan together and she's focused on the right things, I think she can come through with the help of the altitude.
Okay. And now moving to quarter number 4, we have reigning Australian Open winner Caro Wozniacki. We have Sharapova in this section. So there's some players. Zhang is also here. Sharapova won easily today. And she's playing Begu next, who could be tough, as a very crafty player. What do we need to see, Parsa, from Sharapova for her to really kick it to that next level and get to where, you know, frankly, she wants to be? And a lot of her fans would want her see her as, like, what does she need to do, bottom line, in your opinion? Is it match play? I don't think it's mental toughness, because she's tough as a rock. She works super hard. She's training hard. She's fit. You know, what is it? What do you think she needs?
I mean, she's just simply not hitting the ball as big as she used to.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yes.
It comes down to MPHs.
Yeah.
And the ball doesn't travel through the air as fast. It's not as devastating. And she's able to get defended, so then it comes back down to her footwork. So it's a cycle that she has to go through, except that when she's relying on her feet, you know, she's also aging. So it needs to be the hitting, the cleanliness of the hit, and it needs to be a relentless style, and she needs to be hitting her spots. And I don't know, you know, tennis is always difficult. We always ask ourselves, you know, who's going to win what. And but yet we have no idea what their preparation is like. We have no idea what their schedules are like. You know, someone could be training 5 hours a day, or it could be half hour a day. We have no idea. We have no idea if they had a stomach pain and they didn't put in the work. We don't know anything. So, you know, but what we do know with her anyway is that the ball isn't traveling as fast, and she needs to be hit that ball harder and bigger and scream louder and hit the corners, and good things will happen for her.
Yeah, and I think that at some point, I mean, if this continues, like she doesn't get to where she wants to get to, at some point, it's not about that she, you know, she put in her time after her suspension. She absolutely did. And so that's out of the way. But, you know, the substance that she was using before, obviously, I mean, there has to be a point where if she can't get back to the level that she was at, it's without a doubt that that was helping her. I mean, it's in part, like, how can you say that it wasn't, right? And it's, I mean,
a lot of it could be mental, Nima.
Yeah, it could be mental too. And it's, you know, I don't know if there's a substitute that's legal that she can take. I don't know exactly. I'm not, you know, entwined in that as much. But yeah, I mean, she's definitely good for the game. There's no doubt about that. When she's around, she transcends so many things. She's everywhere. She's like a pop, you know, in the pop culture and everything. So. But anyhow, I mean, we got to make a pick here, and I'm actually going to go with Sharapova to make the semifinals. You know,
there you go. Then she'll be back.
Yeah.
Just like that. That's all it takes. That's the special thing about tennis.
There you go. So I'm going with, last section with Sharapova to make the final four. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to just keep going with slow and steady here. Miss Kara Wozniacki. I think, she's proven, I don't think she'll win this thing, but I think she's proven that she can go, you know, through a few matches every tournament and sort of, she knows the rhythm she needs and what needs to happen for her success. And I think that's better. And she's more, a little bit more tempered than emotionally than most of the women. And I think that just helps her, play the percentage of tennis, play the tennis necessary to get through them. So, I think Wozniacki is going to have a good week here.
Okay. So, Parsa, I have Azarenka, Kazakina, Garcia, Sharapova as my final four. I have Kazakina, Garcia in the finals. I'm taking Kazakina to win this title.
Ah, great.
How about yourself?
I've got Halep and Muguruza in the first semi, and Konta and Wozniacki in the second semi. And I have a feeling that it's going to be Halep going through Muguruza, and it's going to be a Halep and Konta final, and I'm going to have Halep holding the trophy here.
Okay, that's going to be interesting, and it would be good to see that. I mean, she is the number one player in the world, right? So you want to see her gaining some momentum and seeing what she can do in Paris, hopefully in a few weeks' time. Okay, Parsa, as we jump now into the second, our second preview for the men, it's led by none other than Rafa Nadal. Going, you know, the defending champion here. So, Parsa, how do you see this, like, bottom line, how do you see this unfolding, man? He won Monte Carlo, didn't lose a set. Won Barca, even more dominant, perhaps, didn't lose a set. Comes into Madrid. There's no question that of the, you know, the Monte Carlos, the Barcelonas, the Madrids, the Romes, and the French, this is his worst big clay event, right? He's won it, I don't know how many times. He still won it a bunch of times, 5 times, 4 times. Is he going to win this? Is he going to win Rome? And is he going to win the French? Or is, for the next couple weeks, because he's going back-to-back in these Masters 1000s, is he going to lose one of these two, in your opinion? What would you bet right now? Do you think
he's not. He's definitely getting to the semi.
Yeah.
I would bet that.
Because
there's no one that can harm him. It has to be somebody who can really strike. You know, and there's really no one that can hit the ball the way that it's necessary for him to actually get to lose.
Yes.
I mean, maybe Feliciano Lopez can beat him 6-6 if Feliciano Lopez can get there.
He's also the tournament director too, right?
So he's right. gonna so he can maybe put it like put Rafa playing the night before at like 2 a.m. and then play the 8 a.m. first round match.
Yeah.
His next round the next day. I don't know. That's pretty much the only way I guess that could happen. But you know, Del Potro looming in the semi could be some problems and issues for for Nadal. So
no doubt,
I think he's got some work, but I think he's going to make it to the semi.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Rafa, even though Rome is completely suited to him, and he lost in the quarters last year, he's just tired and he lost the team, and then he completely regrouped for the French, which was a blessing in disguise, no question about it. I think that because he's feeling so good that I think he has to win this event. Because it's just like he's going to just keep, he can move forward and feel the vibes, Spanish flavor and everything. So he's going to start off against Basilashvili or Mafi. We got Lopez, as you mentioned, Mannarino, Schwartzman, who's been struggling, which is a surprise for both of us. Crano Busta, who again is just plugging away as the ninth seed here. And we got Dominic Thiem, who, I mean, he's got to show something too in these next couple weeks. Because he hasn't really done much on the clay this year.
He's got to get out of these draws, man.
He's got to get out of these draws, and he's got to show me. I think he's in a little bit of a panic mode, if you ask me. Because I've been watching Thiem now for many years, and we know he hits the crap out of the ball. But he's doing it like 11 out of 10 now. So it's zero defense, and he's just wailing on everything. And he's 8 feet out of the court, and he's trying to hit a 110-mile-an-hour forehand. And the balls are not going in. And so yeah. I think that for me is a little bit, because he's such a strong guy, and that injury that he sustained in Indian Wells, I think really derailed him. Because this guy is just used to his body being there, and for him to just play, 26, 7 weeks of the year, no problem. But, he had that little bit of a hiccup, and mentally, I think that's kind of set him back a little bit. But, I mean, with everything that we talked about in this section, I mean, I'm not going to surprise anybody here, but I'm going with Rafa all the way to the semis. How about yourself?
Wow, totally shocking.
Yes.
World-breaking news there. Yeah, I've got Nadal as well. You can't, like I said, there's nobody who strikes it the way that it's necessary for him to lose on the surface.
No.
Even with the altitude, I think it's something that Rafa will figure out, and find his way through. I think the sets will be closer. How about that?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think he might even lose a set or two this week in this event if he goes on to win it. So we have, Del Potro returning to action after Miami. So he's had a nice break, which I think bodes really well for him. He said, clay's always a complicated surface for me. But you know what, man? I think this surface actually suits him really well because he hits the ball so big. And I just think that, watch out for Del Potro, man. I think, we need a guy to really get up there and kind of offset this Nadal-Federer thing. I know a lot of people are like, what are you talking about? We love it. These guys, all these, Nadal and Federer winning every slam. But it's good. It's good for them to have one other guy in the mix, especially with Djokovic struggling right now. Because Del Potro is not struggling. He's had a strong year. Wawrinka, we don't know what's going on. Murray, I mean, I really fear for him. I mean, we haven't even talked about him in ages. He's coming back in Queen's Club. Who knows how he's going to be. So I think Del Potro right now has the ability to really be a bona fide 2-3 player in the world. And other players in this section, we had Gasquet, who destroyed Burdich today, 14th seed, which was surprising. We have Kevin Anderson, Donaldson, Bautista Agut, other guys in this section. But I like Del Potro. I mean, I think that he's going to get through Beneteau or Zoomer. Khachanov actually is my dark horse for this section. Loves clay, hits a big ball, super strong Russian, so watch out for him. But I'm going to give the edge to the final four for Del Potro for me in this section. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think, a couple of interesting things. I think there's some Gasquet's having a nice little clay court season.
Yes,
here.
Great call.
He's putting things together. This is a tough section. It's yes, Del Potro looks like the overwhelming favorite, but I'm not quite sure how he can still handle the hitting and the moving. And I think at the Magic Box, there's room to defend, and obviously all the stadium courts there are. I also like to think that this favors the hard hitting, hard serving guy, and for me, that's Kevin Anderson. I think that he's consistent enough, and he can be dangerous enough that he could be Nadal's slaughtering meat in the semi. So I'm going to go with Kevin Anderson.
Okay. Moving on to the court, the bottom half here. It's led by Goffin, Dimitrov, Shapovalov. I mean, the guy played amazing today, Parsa. For anybody who saw that match, he took Tennis Sandgren to the absolute woodshed. He was up 5-0 in 12 minutes, won the first set in 18, just hammering everything. He plays the winner of Lucas Pouille and Benoit Paire, two Frenchmen, in the second round. This could be a great surface for him, too, because he can hit through the court a little bit more. Clay, not really his best surface, as it's shown now, but the guy's only, like, what, 18, 19? So you can't really say what's his best surface or not. It's too easy to really typecast him into any sort of real court. Another intriguing, I mean, standout match that's actually taking place tomorrow, I think third on center, is Novak Djokovic versus Nishikori. Nishikori's had a decent, you know, renaissance right now on the clay. Made the, what did he do? He made, what was it, finals of Monte Carlo? Right, yeah, he lost to Rafa. So he's, you know, he's playing a little bit better. Had to pull out of Barca, I believe. What do you make of that match? Who would you take right now if you're going to go with Djokovic and Nishikori?
I mean, it's super tough to tell, but I think that Nishikori is the one that's definitely headed in a better direction. I think he's a little bit healthier. You know, and we don't really know what's going on with Djokovic, Nima, do we?
Yeah,
I mean,
not at all.
He's vegan now, right? He's lost some weight and I mean, that's good for most people, but not for the superstar athlete here. I'm not quite sure what's happening, so it's hard to comment with Djokovic. Other than he's just simply just not even close to what he used to be. So I definitely have to give the edge to Nishikori, although, it would be remains to be seen if he can continue the consistency he has shown in his steady rise and return to the top of the sport. I think Nishikori has to win this match to continue that trend, obviously.
Okay. So, other guys, as I mentioned, David Goffin, who's been putting it together. He had that freak eye injury and that ankle thing that happened to him at Roland Garros last year. Kyle Edmund, another guy, Parsa. I mean, Kyle Edmund, for me, right now, is a top 10 player in the world on clay. I mean, he's just absolutely, his game is tailor-made for the surface, which is ironic for a Brit. But, I mean, he's got that rock star forehand, and he's got a nice kicker. His backhand is durable. So I'm actually going to be going with him to the semis. I think he can do some real damage here, make the Final Four. Again, not sold on Dimitrov. I don't think, and clay for me is not a good surface for him, even though he grew up on it. We got Milos Raonic as well, lurking, so watch out for him. He plays well on a faster court. But I'm still going to go with surprise semifinalist in Kyle Edmund. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to have another one, another surprise. I really think that that there needs to be a little blip in this season, and it's going to come from Shapovalov. I think that he's got a very workable draw in
yes.
what he has. I think Dimitrov is very beatable in his one-dimensional defensive game, especially in this court speed of a surface. I think Shapovalov can work his way into a semifinal here, and defeat the likes of Goffin or Nishikori in the quarter to make that semi. So I think Shapovalov here in my semi.
Okay. All of Canada thanks you for that. And we go to, obviously we got to make up for something with the Raptors getting destroyed by the Cavs, right?
Exactly.
And then we got the fourth quarter here. We have Alex Zverev, who just won in today in Munich. So he's going to be feeling good coming in. Another guy we got to really talk about here, Parsa, is Stefanos Tsitsipas from Greece.
So good.
So good, man. What do you think about this guy? Forget about everything else, but what do you think about him on clay? I mean, I think the clay is an absolutely beautiful surface for this guy.
He really looks like an artist.
Yeah.
Everyone should try to check him out.
Yeah.
He's just sliding around. He's got kind of longer, lanky arms, and he just swings, and the ball just comes off like a cannon, and he just moves the ball around. You could see him thinking. You could see exactly what he's trying to do, and he executes it beautifully. Somebody who's completely in rhythm right now, who's living in the moment, who's taking it a step at a time and a shot at a time, and things are looking very good for him right now. Things are working out in his favor.
You know, about 3 years ago when he was playing the juniors in New York, when I was coming down, when I was with you guys, went down to the event, and our one of my buddies, Chris from Australia, who's friends with him because he was playing some futures in Greece at the time, and Tsitsipas was there too. So they became buddies. He hooked him up with the pass, and they were hanging out at the event. And he was obviously he was a junior at the time. So he was walking around. We were in the food court. Chris introduced me to him. He said, "This is Stefanos." You know, blah blah blah. Gave him a little bit of a spiel. He goes, "I really believe that this guy can be one of the top players in the world, number one." And I went and checked him out in the juniors. And I was kind of suspect. I mean, he had some pop, didn't really like his backhand too much, which I think is amazing right now on clay. Thought his forehand was a bit stiff, kind of that Eastern grip, but not very loose. But I think he's worked that out. He's part of the Champsy program with Mortoglu. So they've really been pumping him up there, and he's getting some good backing. And this guy reminds me, in a way, not as loose, but he's got a little bit of that Guga Kuerten-esque
game. Yeah, he does. It's
you know
exactly
what I mean? And he's got he's got the hair, and he's got the flair, and he's got the one-hander. He's not as
people
loose.
People get behind him.
Yeah. And he's not as Gumby-like as Guga was. But that's necessarily not a bad thing either, right? Because, as we know, Guga was so loose that he got that hip injury, and then he was done, right? Even though he won three Frenches, which is incredible. But Stefanos, I think he's going to be there, man. I think this guy's somebody to look for, and I would not be shocked if he takes out Zverev in the second round there. He's got Donskoy, who's a great player. He's got a massive forehand, but I don't think clay is the best surface for him. And, Tsitsipas is really riding. He might be tired, though, right? Because he made the finals in Barca, semis in Estoril, losing, super tight matches, winning super tight matches. So if he's not gassed and he's got a couple days, because he's probably playing tomorrow because it's a first round match. Winner plays Zverev, second round. He's still young though, only 19. So as we know, Parsa, when we were 19, that turnaround, we can have a cheeseburger and go play for 6 hours. So I think he's gonna be ready to go. Isner, again for me, there's some things to talk about in this section. Isner, can he put it together? I mean, he's got that massive serve. No reason why he can't do some damage here. Ramos Vinolas, Jack Sock, who's done nothing this year. He's got to get something going. Fognini, Fabio, one week he can light it up. One week he can lose 0-0. You're not going to believe it, but with everything that I've mentioned in this section, Parsa, I'm going with Mr. Italy, Fabio Fognini, to make the semifinals here. Yeah, to play Kyle Edmund. How about yourself?
And you don't think that Fognini's trying to get to Rome quickly?
Yeah, I think he is, but I think that he's going to be feeling it, and that's a great point. That's a great point, but if you remember, he had a good tournament last year because he beat Murray. And if you're looking at it from the psyche of a lot of tennis players, even though Fognini's a really hard guy to pin down from a mental standpoint, he would like to probably build some points this week to alleviate the stress next week. Because obviously he's going to have the feel-good factor, but the pressure is immense there because he's the standout Italian player along with Seppi. And he's still, he's a 16th seed, so he's much, much more highly ranked. So I think for me, he's going to be looking to do some damage this week. But obviously the guys like Zverev and Tsitsipas and, Jack Sock are going to be, more favored. I think Fognini is going to do some damage, even though he's got Leo Meyer in the first round, who's a good clay quarter, won Hamburg a couple times in the past. Verdasco, who's had some good results here. But I'm going to be going with Fabio. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm going to ride the wave here. I think in this section, I'm not sure who's going to come through. I think this is one of those opportunity sections. If you told me, Stefanos was going to make it through, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm not sure he's getting through Zverev. I think he's going to get a little bit of a tennis lesson there.
Yes.
On what a top, not that he hasn't beaten top 10 guys, but Zverev is a class guy that's going to be there for the next 10 years, if he's healthy. And there needs to be a little bit of a learning curve there still. And I think Zverev is coming off a feel-good week. Winning, and for me, I'm gonna have Zverev going through here. I think he's the man to beat in this section.
Okay, so I'm not sure if it's a foregone conclusion, but I have Nadal, Delpo, Edmund, Fognini as my final four. I'm going Nadal over Delpo in a good one, three sets, and then I have Edmund, Fognini. I have Fognini taking out Edmund we know that, you know, Fognini doesn't fear Nadal. He gets up for it. And they've had some good battles in the past where with Fabio winning on two or three occasions as well on clay. And I think it's going to be another good one, three-setter. But I have Rafa defending his title here. How about yourself?
Yeah, I love the pick, actually, by the way. It brings good drama to the final.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got Nadal and Kevin Anderson. I think Nadal is going to be cruising. Still hasn't lost a set going into the final. And Shapovalov, who's excited to be in the semi against Zverev. And I think it's going to be, again, one of those things that that I think that it's going to be in the favor of Zverev. I think he's going to take him out. And then I've got Zverev holding the title here, defeating the king of clay on this faster surface. And I'm going to go with something like 7-6 in the third.
Wow. I would be... I'm gonna, you know, fly down to New York and shake your hand if you can get that one up. Because that to me,
we gotta get some excitement this week. Yeah. I hope that it gets all the way up, at least deep enough where it gets tricky, and if it's tangible and real. I mean, he could lose that first round match. So,
absolutely,
we'll see.
Okay, everybody. So with that said, that's it for Parsa and I this week. We will be back next Sunday. It's back to back now. We're gonna be wrapping up Madrid, previewing Rome. So with that said, Parsa, thank you very much for joining us this week. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody out there for listening. Make sure if you're looking for any tickets for Madrid this week, Rome next week, to hit up Top Notch Tennis Tours, as well as if you're looking for any packages for the French Open, Wimbledon, or US Open, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours. As well, download this podcast on iTunes for us and leave us a comment. We always appreciate that. You can also follow Parsa at ParsaSammy on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow Tennis Connected on all the social media forums as well, too. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll chat with you next Sunday.